this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me one more time over to Luke chapter 2. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. May we handle your word accurately, communicate it clearly, so that we leave here with what you have said ringing in our hearts and minds. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Gospel of Luke, this is really the last foundational stone, if you will, that Luke lays for the life of Jesus. It's a glimpse into his life as a young man. A special visit to Jerusalem. Verse 41 says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." There were three feasts in the Old Testament, and for Jesus and his family, they're still living in the time of the Old Testament. They are Jews, and they are following the law. There were three feasts. The first was the Passover. It was in the first month of the year. It wasn't January, but it was in the first month of the Jewish calendar. Then 50 days later, there was the Feast of Pentecost. That too should ring a bell in your minds in terms of the beginnings of the church. And then sometime later, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. It was a week of camping. Why? Because God wanted Israel to be reminded every year of their time in the wilderness and how he took care of them, even during the 40 years of discipline, if you will, before they entered the promised land. But we begin with Passover. And every Jewish family who could went to Jerusalem for Passover. That annual opportunity for Israel as a nation to remember God's deliverance from the slavery of Egypt and the beginnings of their nation. God gave them the law through Moses that would cover their religious life and their civil life. It would define for them what it meant to be Jewish. So every year, if you could, you made your way to Jerusalem for Passover. This was probably one of many that they had taken. But there's a significance. This is a special year. Verse 42 says, "And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast." When he was 12. Well, now you ask any 12-year-old, what's the significance of being 12? I'm going to be 13 next year. I'm going to be a teenager. I'm a preteen. Okay. But for Jesus and for all the other 12-year-old males, 12 was when you were invited into the synagogue. 12 was when you could begin public reading of the scriptures, when you could begin the public reading of the Torah and the Talmud, commentaries, if you will, of the Hebrew Old Testament. That was special. And you were counted as a young man. There needed to be 10 men in the community to form a synagogue. I'm one of the 10. I have responsibility now. I'm a man. This was a special year for Jesus and his family. Firstborn, oldest. By now, he probably has at least a brother or sister. I'm the oldest. I'm a man. This was a special year, a special time to go to Jerusalem. But as you know, it's the return trip that gets our attention. But understanding the significance of this year and of this visit, maybe it shines some important light on the challenge of the return trip. Verse 43, and as they were returning, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, and whatever siblings he might have at that time, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, the full number of days following Passover was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that was a week. So they probably stayed a week, 8 days. So they've been there a while, but it's time to go home now. But Jesus stays behind. Hint that something's up. But his parents were unaware of it and supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey and began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Now remember, Jesus is 12. It's time to go home. There were many from Nazareth who had come down to Jerusalem for Passover. Any of them who could came. And there was security in numbers, so they traveled together, caravan. Jesus would have had not only siblings, but cousins and others, friends. And we just all left. And I'm sure, you know, everybody thought, we go, everybody goes. They go a day. They start to gather at the evening, probably around a meal. No Jesus. Mary and Joseph start looking, asking, where's Jesus? Assuming that he was with somebody else. But they don't find him. So they're one day out. It's another day to get back to Jerusalem. They look for a day, 3 days, and they find him. They find him in the temple. Now, this is one more clue that we're dealing with somebody special, right? Now, we understand he's 12, and so now he has new responsibilities in the synagogue back home. So it makes sense that of all the places he would have visited, he would have wanted to visit the temple. But how many 12-year-old boys do you know who, if they've had 24, 48 hours away from mom and dad, would choose to spend any of it at church or in pastor's office? Because you know where this is going. This is a familiar story. Not many. So they find him in the temple. But the reason baffles, just amazes Joseph and Mary. So back to the middle of verse 46. They find him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. That's Mary and Joseph. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. So they find him. He's sitting with the teachers, the rabbis, there in the temple. And they are amazed at this young man. Now, there should have been, just as any 12-year-old Jewish boy, there should have been some understanding, some awareness of Scripture and what his responsibilities would be. That would have been a part of what he would have been taught in his home, would have been taught in his home synagogue. But they are amazed, notice, both listening, end of verse 46, both listening to them and asking questions. Have you noticed that when you're talking with people, aren't you sometimes just as intrigued by the questions as you are by the answers? It's interesting that he would ask that, that he would want to know about that. And then when they listen to the answers and seem to understand what you're telling them, this young man, yes, he's reached an important milestone, a common milestone, but he's not reached it in a common way. There's something special. There's something unique about this young man. And even the rabbis, the teachers, are surprised by the questions, by the answers, by his understanding. But Mary is a mother. Her oldest son, her firstborn son, the one she spent the most time with, the 12-year-old. Yes, he's now a man. So we expected him to go home with us when it was time. We expected him to obey. And he didn't. He wasn't where he was expected. So they ask, "Why'd you do this?" And notice she refers to Joseph as his father. And that's not because Mary is telling us something that we kind of wondered about. No, it's just, you know families, don't you, with step-parents? Where the kids refer to them as mom and dad. It's just kind of natural. That's what's going on here. So why, your dad and I have been looking for you 3 days. Where, you know, why? But look at his answer. And I don't know that this is all that he said. My suspicion is there's more to this in terms of his concern for him, his concern for them, and their concern for him. I'm sure that was a part of the discussion. But what Luke wants us to know is that as Jesus explains to his parents why he did what he did, it's a question. Why didn't you know? If I wasn't with you, if I had been here, if I wasn't with you, I'd be in my father's house. It's where I belong. I came here. We don't have a temple in Nazareth. We're not supposed to have a temple in Nazareth. We don't have all of these rabbis in Nazareth. We're not supposed to. I have an opportunity to learn some more, to understand some more. And this is where the ice gets really thin, and I wonder myself, how much does Jesus know and understand as a 12-year-old of who he is and his mission and all of that? And I don't know. But he's growing in his understanding of who he is and what he's come to do. And so he simply says, this is naturally where I would be. Still, in spite of all of this, he lived in subjection or obedience to Joseph and Mary. Verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection or obedience to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Don't you remember Mary's regularly doing that? She's regularly hearing things and seeing things about this boy. I just need to think about this. I'm amazed at what I'm seeing. I'm amazed at what I'm hearing. I just need to treasure this and think about this. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, growing and in favor with God and man. Which again, to me, while I don't fully understand it, says that at 12, Jesus still has some human, physical maturing to do. And he will do that. Now, he will do it without sin, and he will do it increasingly understanding who he is. But he's still got some growth here. He increased in wisdom, truth applied to life, and physically, simply growing, maturing. But Luke says he did it in favor with God and with man. Now, I understand God, Heavenly Father, equally God. And he's understanding that more and more all of the time. That understanding is growing and maturing. But he also says that the relationship with men, growing in favor with men. Don't trip over that. One thing that I'm absolutely sure it doesn't mean is that Jesus was not learning the art of compromise. But I think he was learning about men and how young men are polite, respectful. Remember, he's growing up in a carpenter shop. And people are all in and out. Men are in and out. I'm sure Joseph taught him how to shake hands. I don't know that they did that then, but you know what I mean. I'm sure he taught them how to introduce themselves, how to speak when spoken to, how to speak respectfully, how to listen. If someone came in with an order, how to treat them with respect and carefully write out or note whatever they wanted, who they were. I think that in part what this means is when the community thought about Joseph and Mary, they know Jesus too, and they know, well, you know, he's just becoming a good man. And that's who he is. But as a 12-year-old, he still has 18 years living at home. I suspect, and some of this is just from the silence of Scripture and some extra biblical information, I suspect that sometime during that 18 years, Joseph died. Because there's no mention of him during Jesus' public ministry. But he had to have lived much of those 18 years because Scripture speaks of Jesus' brothers and sisters. So he has at least two brothers we can identify, maybe more. And he has at least two sisters, because they are always referred to in the plural. So he has at least four siblings. So Joseph was around for a while. But if we're correct that he passed away, at that point, that would have left Jesus in charge of the shop. It would have been Jesus who would have been in charge of making sure the family was cared for and needs were met. And you know he would have done it really, really well. That's the foundation now. We've learned who he is. We've learned how Joseph and Mary have recognized him for who he is. And we get a little snapshot at his coming of age. And again, knowing how they, his parents, even in the struggles of raising Jesus, are beginning to understand more fully who he is and what he will be doing. That's the foundation. Now, in the weeks ahead, between here and Easter, we'll look at highlights of his life and his ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use, encourage, challenge, whatever the need might be today. And now, Father, as we focus upon this table of remembrance, we're reminded that Jesus came to die. And not just die as all men die, but because he is who he is, die for the sins of the world. And when we join together around this table, we declare his death, the significance of it, until he comes. May we handle these symbols as they have been prepared for us in an appropriate, respectful way. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.